if children are old enough to love, they're old enough to grieve. This is episode one in a series of podcasts on children and young people's grief, produced by Victoria Hospice. Thank you to our generous donors who have made this series possible. These episodes are meant to be tools and resources for parents and professionals who work with children and who may be seeking guidance when it comes to dealing with grief.
I've been with Victoria Hospice for a long time, working with both adults and children.
That's Allison Whiteman, child and youth counselor at Victoria Hospice.
The children piece is my passion. When I was doing my master's degree, my research was around bereaved children, which I found really interesting, and found myself really wanting to advocate for bereaved children because there was a real lack of research around that topic at the time. So I'm really excited to be sharing this information with all of you today.
In this episode, Allison speaks about different age groups and how they grieve. She'll break down the developmental stages and provide some suggested ways to support each age group. First, there are three general themes to remember for all ages.
No matter what the age the child is, it fits in. So first of all, it's an important point for parents to know that children re-grieve at each developmental stage. So if they experience a death at the age of 5, when they hit the age of 9, they're going to look at it again. And when they hit the age of 13, they're going to look at it again. And this is normal and healthy. There isn't anything wrong that's happening. The second point is that children's grief is sporadic, so it's different from adult grief. Their attention span can last only so long on anything, and it's true for their grief as well. So it will come and go, and that's perfectly normal and natural and healthy as well. And my last point is, one of the purposes of our grief is to help us to develop a relationship, change the relationship with the person who has died. So when they die, our grief doesn't mean that the relationship stops. It means that it has to change because the person isn't physically here to maintain it anymore. And so our grief helps us in the shifting and changing and adapting. And I'll talk more about what that looks like with each specific age group.
The next age group, 10 to 12.
They have their own special designations that are happening for them. One of the things that goes on for them is that they're now able to think more logically. And so you can really sort of see that in terms of how they express themselves in all kinds of areas of their life. They're able to reason things out to a certain degree. So their questions change and their thoughts change, and it just becomes bigger for them. They're more able to cope with their own big emotions as well. Like with the younger children, it's really hard for them to be able to be in that state for long. But with the 10 to 12 year olds, they can be there with that for longer and kind of be more grounded within themselves. It's not such a struggle. This age group also finds that school and outside activities and friends can be really helpful. They just like to have distraction from what's going on with inside of them. And so they really will tend to look to that, those outside activities to kind of keep things going. This age group, earlier on, children definitely do feel angry in their grief, but it takes on a bigger role with this age group and then up. It's just more apparent for them. So parents will notice those kinds of things happening more often, a lot more angry expression. And a lot of times that anger can be directed at something that's entirely different than their grief. And so they will have this kind of really big reaction to something that was actually quite small and out of character for them. But it is kind of an unloading of their grief in that way. And they're not consciously doing this. It's a kind of an unconscious thing, but it's definitely a lot more noticeable with this age group. So how can we support these 10 to 12 year olds? Well, there's a number of ways of doing that as well. Going back to that piece of school and outside activities, keeping that continuity as much as possible is really, really helpful for them because they use it as distraction, and that helps them. They are also at an age where they like to be able to choose whether people at the school, peer-wise, know that somebody in their family has died. So some of them really want their peers to know, and others don't. And so having choice about that is really helpful, because if they go to school and everybody knows and they didn't want everybody to know, then that adds another layer of difficulty for them. And they have a lot of strong reactions about that as well. It's interesting, this age group too often will take a school assignment and use that as a way of helping them to express their grief. So they might write a story about it, or they might start to study about cancer or something like that. So that's an example of their logical thinking and how they're getting into that avenue and exploring that further. So, you know, if your child comes home with a story about somebody who has died or has written about their own experience of somebody dying, not to worry about it. It doesn't mean that, you know, they're not grieving and they're trying to find all these other ways of expressing. It's actually something that they kind of typically will do. This age group also really likes to have an active role in any kind of planning that happens. So, for example, with a funeral or memorial service or holiday traditions, like as a family faces its first new holiday, whatever that might be for that family. I'll just use Christmas as an example, but I recognize there's many, many different kinds of religions and cultures that have holidays that come up. But the children want to be a part of planning that. They have their own ideas and they really like to share them, and they're really great ideas. So at this point, I'm really just encouraging people ask, because they will know and they want to help. They also need a lot of reassurance about other people in their family and their health. Again, it's kind of back to that earlier age group. They still worry. They know that, okay, just because this person has died in my family, it means that other people can too, or that I could die myself. So they need to know that people are taking care of themselves and doing their utmost to keep themselves healthy, to be around to help them. They also tend to need help and support with their self-esteem. This age, it's already starting to get rocky. And then if the person who has died was somebody who really helped with that, that's a big gap for them. And so finding ways to help support that area, finding other people who can help support them in their self-esteem is really important. And then the last piece to know about this age group is that they tend to subdue their emotional expression. So it can look like they're not grieving at all, and that can be worrisome to parents. But in fact, they are. They just don't have a lot of emotional expression because they're busy distracting themselves away from it, which is kind of their natural inclination at this point. So it is happening, but not in that necessarily big emotional way.
This is one of six sections of this episode covering developmental stages in grief. Future episodes will look at resiliency, bereaved children's needs, and supports. Thank you to our generous donors for making this podcast possible. For more details on Victoria Hospice's bereavement services, visit our website, victoriahospice.org.